The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Breaking news and how it affects you. This is the Morning Answer with Jen and Grant.
Good Friday morning to you. It is the Morning Answer. I'm Jennifer Horn. Happy to be along with you today.
And I'm Grant Stinchfield.
Sorry about that.
It's okay.
Everything's a little different today. I'm a little echoey, so that took me by surprise. We have a little microphone switch issue going on in the studio, but it sounds okay, right? We sound good? All right.
You sound great to me, but you know, you always sound great to me.
Oh, you're so nice. Aren't we so happy that it's Friday, as the song indicates? It feels good up against the weekend here. And some good news for Carrie Lake and for President Trump. The endorsed former newscaster, Carrie Lake, President Trump, was made her the choice. Leading proponent for former President Trump's, really his campaign, his viewpoints on the election of 2020. Well, she is now on her way to becoming the state's next governor. She has officially won the GOP primary. It took a while after the Tuesday election to get that announcement, but it came last night.
It's great news for Carrie Lake. I think it's great news for Arizona as well. And I think, again, solidifies the idea that President Trump's endorsement means something. Especially in a state like Arizona, which
is there. Go ahead. Sorry, Grant.
What were you going to say?
No. You please finish. Go ahead.
Poor Jen, you got like an echo or something going on.
Go ahead. It's fine.
No. Go ahead.
No. I wasn't even talking to you. I was actually trying to talk to Josh in secret. But okay. Apparently that button doesn't work today. So we're okay. Welcome to Friday, everybody. What are we supposed to do?
Welcome to Friday. So then, like, if this is really a Welcome to Friday show, I'd say, what was I saying?
I can't remember
what I was saying. No. What I'm saying is Arizona has really managed to screw up their politics in that state. This was a pretty solidified red state. They end up going down the establishment route. They elect some establishment politicians. They don't get election integrity under control. You got Maricopa County, which is an absolute disaster when it comes to election integrity. We saw Maricopa County again being at the center of attention for the Carrie Lake race. But in the end, it looks like that election is a done deal. They've called it for her, and it does really send a clear message that that President Trump's endorsement means something. I mean, the guy basically ran the table again Tuesday night.
Yeah, it seems that most of his endorsements, in fact, one of the candidates who received one said that his endorsement was like rocket fuel to his campaign. Certainly, it is meaningful. I think maybe the most powerful political endorsement that you can get. And I would put that up against somebody like a President Obama, who still carries a lot of water for the Democrats. I think it is the most powerful endorsement. It shows he is still in charge of the Republican Party, and truly that slot moving into 2024 is his if he wants it.
I was with some of Ted Cruz's people, okay?
Yeah.
So I got to visit CPAC yesterday. I'll just tell you, I flew back broadcasting from Texas because I wanted to go to CPAC, which is a great event in Texas. I will say I was a little surprised it wasn't as electric as it can be normally, but it was early. It's early in the week. You know, we'll see what today brings, because I'm going to go back today. But I was with some of Ted Cruz people. Ted Cruz clearly has presidential aspirations. And the reason I bring this up, because off the cuff, one of Ted Cruz's close confidants said to me, look, he can run for Senate and president at the same time, the way the elections shape up. He says, but really, we're waiting to see what President Trump does.
Mm-hmm. I don't think that Ted Cruz wants that battle again. It wasn't a great Ted Cruz at that point. And it's funny because I have a lot of respect for Ted Cruz, but he did not, I don't think, have the seasoning to run against President Trump without looking bad. Trump can say crazy things and he gets away with it. You know, some people on the left don't like it, but certainly he says crazy things and people, you know, kind of laugh it off. It didn't work for Ted Cruz. And so I think he's probably smart enough now to realize that that's not a matchup he wants to engage in.
Well,
again.
Look, Lion Ted, right?
Yeah.
What President Trump dubbed him, and President Trump just really destroyed what was looked at as a very strong conservative by many of us in the, I still call us the Tea Party conservatives, right? He destroyed Ted Cruz, and I think you're right. But it is interesting that he would openly, even though it was very quick and off the cuff, like I'm not sure it was an open conversation as much as it might have been a kind of just slipping out.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we're going to wait to see what President Trump does. And so basically, I think all bets are on hold until President Trump decides what he's doing. And yeah. I think most people think he's running.
I think most people think that, too. And a lot of folks think that he may actually announce before the midterms. We've talked about that strategically. I think, Grant, you and I both think it would be smarter to announce after the midterms. But it was a question that was posed to the minority leader, Kevin McCarthy, about Trump announcing in September. And we'll see. We'll see what happens there. But here at home, the crime wave continues. I don't know if you heard about this. I know you were at CPAC yesterday, Grant, but there was an armored vehicle, you know, the type that carry around large sums of money. Security guard for one of those vehicles was shot and critically wounded. Another was injured during a robbery of that vehicle on Thursday morning at the Hustler Casino, which is in Gardena. A lot of people have seen it as they drive by in that area. And now the search for the suspects, it's on. They are still at large this morning. Officers and firefighter paramedics responded to this call yesterday. Right after we got off the air, 10 a.m., broad daylight, to a report of a gunshot victim in this area. Investigators learned that two security guards returned fire after being shot at by the suspects, who were armed with handguns and a rifle. The armored vehicle was operated by Loomis, and of course, they take in large amounts of cash. One of the security guards that was shot and wounded in the shootout is expected to make a recovery, but he's hospitalized. I mean, this is, you know, this is the state of affairs right now, that at 10 a.m. in Los Angeles, you can't really have an anticipation of safety.
No, well, and especially if you're an armored vehicle, so an armored vehicle security guard. I mean, when you think about armored vehicles, this is also what I would say for the Federal Reserve banks, okay? When the attack is going to come, you're never going to see it coming.
Mm-hmm.
So back in Dallas, there's a huge Federal Reserve Bank. Los Angeles have a Federal Reserve Bank?
I don't think so.
Does.
Maybe.
Does it not?
Maybe.
Maybe it's in Denver, but Dallas has one. And look, this is where, I mean, it's like, I don't know if it's maybe could be trillions of dollars worth of gold, but mm-hmm. but there's lots of cash and gold in these Federal Reserve facilities. They have armored personnel outside. By and large, years go by, nothing ever happens. But if something were to happen at a Federal Reserve Bank, you know it's going to be big, right?
Yeah.
Same thing goes for an armed security personnel that are guarding an armored vehicle that has cash in it. You know, the moment that robbery comes, it's not like they're going to walk up coming to you face to face and say, put your hands up, give me all your money. If you want to rob those places, you're going to have to come with the heat right away. And I'm not sure those security guards are ever going to see it coming. That is a job I would not ever want, because the element of surprise is what the criminals are going to go for. And if they're willing to kill people for the money,
Those armored
vehicles are very easy to rob if you're willing to kill the people that are guarding it.
Yeah, and you know, it's been really interesting this week. There was that that report from George Soros where he basically said that crime isn't spiking because of his policies and because of all the DAs that he's been supporting. We know in Los Angeles, crime has been spiking under our Soros funded DA. And not only did George Gascon, new information is coming out, Jennifer Van Laar over at Red State reporting this, but not only did the George Gascon take money from George Soros, but he actually started the Progressive Prosecutor Project with George Soros. This is something that he admitted in front of a crowd at USC back in 2020. This clip was just dug out. Took $50 million in seed funding from the ACLU to get it started. Take a listen.
My focus from the very beginning when I became the district attorney is I've been working already at the national level for almost a decade on criminal justice reform, really with a very strong focus on reducing incarceration. That was really, at that point in my life, that was really the goal. You know, my goal is much broader today, but, you know, as you will see during the conversation, I'm a product of evolving, obviously. So when I became the district attorney, I believe that we could find a balance between reducing crime and community safety and reducing incarceration. I think you could do both at the same time, and we proved that you could. And that was the primary focus at the time. My focus from the very beginning when I became...
This guy's a piece of work, boy. I'll tell you what.
But for all the denial, he's on video talking about how not only is he funded, but he worked with George Soros to start this effort. He's at the core of it.
I'm not sure that they think it's a bad thing.
I guess. Well, I don't think so. That's their goal, right? It's an ideology.
You know, I read a statement from George Soros yesterday. I don't have it in front of me, but he basically said that his goal was to reduce imprisonment among minority communities that were not fair in his mind. And he wanted to make sure that drug crimes were not penalized to the maximum that they could possibly be, and that they were over-criminalizing drug crimes. And the way he worded the statement, you know, a reasonable person could read and say, okay, well, that sounds well and good. You're trying to do all these things. The problem is that's not what he really is trying to do, this just imprisonment or whatever he wants to call it. Mm-hmm. It's not. It's about literally letting criminality flourish.
Yeah, and that's what they want, because they want to have the bad guys take over. We'll continue to follow this story, and you can join us, 855-785-8255, as we continue. Nancy Pelosi getting sanctioned by China. We'll tell you why as your Friday Morning Answer continues.
Welcome to The Mornings with Jennifer Horn and Grant Stinchfield.
I mean, who takes a phone call when you're sitting with the
president? But it's your kid.
But it's my kid, so I put him on. Hey, Wyatt, your dad's a great guy. Yes, Mr. President. Thank you, Mr. President. Oh, it was so great.
Proving every day that conservatives don't have to agree on everything.
Now, I'm really sort of ticked at you. You know, I was happy for you. You got to have dinner with the president, but you don't think you could have called me and said, my daughter Jennifer is on the What is wrong with you?
This is The Morning Answer.
Thanks for joining us. Finally, a Friday here on The Morning Answer. I'm Jennifer Horn.
And I'm Grant Stinchfield.
The Answer. Breaking news.
Well, it seems that Nancy Pelosi was delivered a gift overnight. China announcing sanctions against the House Speaker and her family. Paul Pelosi included in that following her visit to Taiwan, which China, as you know, if you've been listening to this program or seen the news, they didn't like it so much. They condemned it. China's foreign ministry spokesperson announced the sanctions on Friday morning, or right as this program started, calling Pelosi's visit to Taiwan an egregious provocation and gross interference into the country's internal affairs. In disregard of China's grave concerns and firm opposition, Speaker of the U.S. House of Representatives Nancy Pelosi insisted on visiting China's Taiwan region. This constitutes a gross interference in China's internal affairs. It gravely undermines China's sovereignty and territorial integrity, seriously tramples on the One China principle, and severely threatens peace and stability across the Taiwan Strait. I think that they were mad, Grant.
It sounds like they're pretty upset about it.
Yeah, using the word trample. I mean, that's tough talk.
You know, one, China's looking to be mad about anything.
Sure.
The White House is backtracking. The Pentagon is backtracking. So you got everybody mad at Pelosi for going. Though what's interesting is most Republicans are like, okay, I'm glad she went to show that we've got some solidarity towards Taiwan. It's like the only time I've heard a majority of Republicans back her up. The problem is this could have been handled so much easier. We've said it over and over again. There was a way to handle this and do it in a way where everybody gets on the same page to start.
Yep.
And you know, look, the Pentagon warned that this would escalate tensions. And she didn't want to listen to the Pentagon. So I actually think, you know, it was an option not to go before China said you can't come, right? Once China says you can't come, then you got to go. But it was an option not to come before. But it should have been kept quiet. It didn't need to be made news.
And the reason it was news is because Joe Biden made it news. The president talked about it and said that the military thought that she shouldn't go and he didn't want her to go. And then China comes out and it becomes a big deal. And now then she is forced into going. All of that conversation should have happened behind the scenes. Again, it just shows that we do not have a strong leader in the White House, and that somebody, we don't know who's really in charge. Is it Joe Biden, Nancy Pelosi, or someone else?
Yeah. I'll tell you, I still truly believe that it's Barack Obama.
And that could be the someone else.
And that's the someone else. I mean, look, he's the only president that doesn't leave Washington after his term is over. Who in the world wants to stay in Washington?
I know. You know, we talked a lot about Vin Scully this week, and he had a thing that he used to say a lot, and I'm going to try to get it right. He said, be there, be early, be seen, be gone. I don't think that President Obama listened to the be gone part of all of that. He got there, he was seen, but he never left.
It reminds me of an old Texas saying called be hip or be square.
That's right. Or hip to be square, something like that.
Or hip to be square.
Yeah, an old Huey Lewis saying, I think.
Okay. Is that where it's from? I thought I wrote it.
I think so. So yesterday at the White House, China was the topic of the day. You had Admiral John Kirby and you had Karine Jean-Pierre leading a kind of a joint press conference about China and, of course, the other issues of the day. And Peter Doocy got into it with both John Kirby and Karine Jean-Pierre about the policy of the Biden administration towards China. We'll start first with the exchange on the Biden administration's outlook and what Biden could be doing or what more he could be doing between Peter Doocy and John Kirby. Take a listen.
I know you said that there is not a call scheduled with Xi. Is there a reason why? Because President Biden's known him for decades.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of free time up there in the residence this week.
He doesn't have free time.
Just pick up the phone and call?
He's been working all the way through his illness, quite frankly, Peter. So that's a little bit insulting. And as for
that someone who is isolating by themselves.
You suggested he has a lot of free time as if he's not doing anything. And you know that's not the case, Mr. Doocy.
You know, so that actually is how you handle Mr. Doocy, even though Mr. Doocy's brilliant in the way he frames his questions and asks his questions. You know, Doocy's a young guy, and not to be what was the term? It's not prejudiced against young people. It's not disrespectful to young people. What I'm trying to say, but trying not to be any of those things towards young people, he comes off well beyond his years.
Well, he's in his mid-30s, I think, isn't he?
Is he? I don't know. He reminds me of a kid.
In his mid-30s. He's an old. I'm not saying he's older by any stretch. He is young.
Yeah, yeah. I guess I'm just used to these White House correspondents all being dinosaurs.
Yeah, I know. I think here's the deal. I love Peter Doocy, and I'm so glad he's there. But just looking at it from a public relations perspective, they let him eat their lunch every single day. Peter Doocy makes news almost every single day by challenging these press people, whether it's Jen Psaki or Karine Jean-Pierre. This is the first time I actually heard some pushback that was meaningful from the administration on Peter Doocy, saying you're being disrespectful and kind of putting him in his place a little bit. Not that I think he was wrong, because clearly the president has plenty of time to call President Xi, but he's not going to because, his family's enriched himself. Take a little listen to more of this exchange.
Why is it that over the last couple of months, President Biden has been so much tougher on Russia than he is on China?
I wouldn't agree with the premise of the question, Peter.
Well, I think when Russia was getting aggressive around Ukraine, the president was out every couple days telling Putin, don't do it. And now China is getting aggressive around Taiwan, and we're not hearing anything like that from the president.
Oh, I beg to differ. We've been standing up here for almost a week, Peter, talking about our concerns about what China was preparing to do.
It's going to be a great battle, and I think the president, Joe Biden, is going to have to look at Admiral Kirby and say, you know what, if I want to have any shot in there against a media that's becoming more and more hostile, you're going to need Kirby in there.
Yeah, and Doocy, by the way, is right. He's right when he says that the Biden administration has not been out in front of this. We have not heard from Biden in any remarks about giving a threat to China to stay out of Taiwan. 855-785-8255. As we continue, Dick Cheney back in the spotlight. And he's got some strong words for maybe one of your political favorites. First, we check the roads and your headlines with our newsman, Larry Marino, as your Friday Morning Answer continues.
Dropping truth bombs on the left. This is the Morning Answer with Jen and Grant.
Thanks for joining us. Finally, a Friday here on the Morning Answer. I'm Jennifer Horn.
And I'm Grant Stinchfield.
And one thing that we know for sure is that Wyoming is going to vote, I think it's August 23rd, but it's definitely in the next couple of weeks. They have their primary in Wyoming. On that ballot is Liz Cheney, who is a now controversial Republican. And Grant, she's not doing well in the polls.
I'm listening.
She's not doing well in the polls. I was just waiting for you to say she's tanking. Are you like writing in your diary? Dearest diary.
No. It seemed to me she's not doing well in the polls and up. And so I thought there was going to be something else coming.
Okay.
And then,
well, there is. So what do you do when you're in trouble? Well, you call your dad. That's what I do.
Okay.
And that's what she did. Liz Cheney called her daddy, Dick Cheney, to help her out. Now, she's getting a lot of money from outside of the state of Wyoming. She's getting a ton of cash, actually, from places like California, where there are a lot of Democrats who would like to see her succeed because she's been an integral part of the January 6th committee. Well, she got Dick Cheney together, and they created an ad in which they target President Trump. And it was so interesting to see Dick Cheney, who was old when he was vice president, but looks even older now.
Can I say this is a dumb move on her part? Because Dick Cheney is not a guy that's loved, by and large, by Republicans. She's literally, she's spawned from a swamp creature. That's why she is a swamp creature. When a swamp creature gives birth to you, you're probably going to be a baby swamp creature.
Yeah, that's
when you grow up, you grow up to be a big swamp creature.
Right.
This is what's happened to Liz Cheney.
And here she is, and she goes after Dick Cheney. I think you're right. See, what people don't, and she's banking on the fact that he's got some power, but the left hated Dick Cheney. Wasn't that long ago. Think back to how they hated George W. Bush, and they absolutely hated Dick Cheney. Now the left is in a love affair with the Bush family, but not necessarily with the Cheney family. Part two of this, Republicans don't really like him because you're right. He was swampy. A lot of people thought he was a warmonger. Take a listen to this ad released yesterday by the Cheney campaign.
In our nation's 246-year history, there has never been an individual who is a greater threat to our republic than Donald Trump. He tried to steal the last election using lies and violence to keep himself in power after the voters had rejected him. He is a coward. A real man wouldn't lie to his supporters. He lost his election, and he lost big. I know it, he knows it, and deep down, I think most Republicans know it. Lynn and I are so proud of Liz for standing up for the truth, doing what's right, honoring her oath to the Constitution, when so many in our party are too scared to do so. Liz is fearless. She never backs down from a fight. There is nothing more important she will ever do than lead the effort to make sure Donald Trump is never again near the Oval Office. And she will succeed. I am Dick Cheney. Proudly voted for my daughter. I hope you will too.
I'm Liz Cheney, and I approve this message.
Now, is she running for Congress or is she running for president?
I am, not a fan of that commercial right there. I think it's totally disrespectful. And this from a guy, Dick Cheney, who probably was a man that would talk about having respect for the office of the presidency. He shows no respect for the office of the presidency. He shows no respect for a former president. And to me, it's a despicable showing from a man who did give service to this country. There's no doubt about that, that he did sacrifice a lot for America, even though he was wrong on a lot of things. But for him to come out like that is honestly, it's sickening.
Maybe this is showing, I don't know, my age a little bit. Anybody with me? When you see Dick Cheney in this ad, he's standing in the middle of like the woods in Wyoming. And all I can do is think about his hunting accident. Remember that when he shot somebody? Do you remember that? Years ago? I don't think like Dick Cheney sitting in a chair in an office, I think would be a better look. Him in the great outdoors. I'm not sure that he can play that card anymore. Once you shoot someone in the face when you're out on a hunting expedition, not sure that that plays out. I think maybe you have to be indoors or, you know, somewhere away from forestation. It's just me.
I think you're probably right.
You just got to stay away.
You just got to stay away. He doesn't sound good there
either. Like Ted Kennedy should have never given like a campaign ad from the front seat of his car. Like that just is not where you should probably be. Right. If you're a Kennedy, if you're a Cheney, you don't really go out into the forest anymore. No.
How old is he, do you think?
He's got to be, I would say he's older than 80, but Josh, producer Josh, you say he's 80? So he's 80. He just looked old, I guess, when he was around the first time.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, honestly, 80's not even that old anymore. I mean, it's really not. But, you know, look, I guess he's doing what a dad does. A dad protects their daughter, even when their daughter's wrong. You know, they come out for him. And again, this is going back to the establishment absolutely hating President Trump. And there is no bigger establishment than a guy like Dick Cheney and his daughter Liz Cheney.
855-785-8255. You know, Axios did a piece this week that I thought was kind of interesting. So there were 10 House Republicans who voted to impeach President Trump after January 6th. And at least six of those are now not on their way back to Congress. There are four whose fate is still to be determined. And here's how it goes. So you have four of those Republicans who voted to impeach Trump retiring. You have Kinzinger, Upton, Gonzalez, and Katko who are retiring. David Valadao is the lone survivor so far. He is from California, California's 21st congressional district. He actually won his June 7th primary, so he lives on to fight again during the general election in November. Tom Rice and Peter Meyer, both of them, they lost their primaries this week, in fact, for Representative Meyer. And coming up on, let's see, you've got Buettler, Newhouse, and Cheney, who still have their contests to be decided. So it's very possible that only
Buettler.
Oh, I'm sorry, Buettler. Yes, he was on the ballot this week and he lost.
The one from Buettler.
Buettler. And it's her, by the way. It's Jamie.
Anyone?
Yeah.
Buettler.
It was Buettler. Buettler.
I know.
In Buettler. Any case, you've got one who's probably going to survive out of 10. That's pretty significant.
Yeah, what does it tell you? It tells you that people are fed up with the war against President Trump and to knock it off, especially if you're a Republican. We expect it from Democrats. We don't expect it from Republicans. Stop trying to pander to whoever you're trying to pander to, because it certainly isn't conservatives.
Nope, it really isn't. And they're not going to vote for you on the left. They're just not. Richard in Whittier, you're on The Morning Answer with Jen and Grant. Hi.
Good morning. It's one who always defended Dick Cheney. I really liked him. He was always pro-gun. He always stood up for this. He may have made mistakes. I don't know, but I always defended him. He's done in my book. What a traitor. His CFR roots are showing.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, how I felt, too, listening to him. There were certainly times where I thought Dick Cheney brought a lot to the table, the war on terror. I know people are angry about the war, but there was, you could make arguments about the intelligence we were getting. I think him and George W. Bush, I've now reassessed and I'm not happy with their presidency, but I will always give them this. They kept us safe at a time when the world was very dangerous. And I'm grateful to both George W. Bush and Dick Cheney for that. But listening to this showing of just going down into the gutter against a man who also kept us safe, and that's President Trump, it's despicable.
Yep. They're not good enough to carry President Trump's luggage. Neither one of them.
There you go. Very well said, Richard in Whittier, 855-785-8255. As we continue, Ron DeSantis had a big announcement yesterday for Florida, but will it have an impact here in California? The details as your Friday Morning Answer continues.
The Morning Answer is Jennifer Horn and Grant Stinchfield.
I heard that Apple was going to sue Disney because they didn't want to be associated with Captain Hook.
What is with that?
Because of the eye patch. You know, the eye patch?
The original Apple device was the eye patch.
They didn't want their products associated with pirates, the eye patch.
Very good.
This is The Morning Answer.
Thanks for joining us Friday here on The Morning Answer. I'm Jennifer Horn.
And I'm Grant Stinchfield.
And several members of law enforcement yesterday, applauding the actions taken by Governor Ron DeSantis in Florida for suspending a woke state attorney, Andrew Warren, whom he said has disregarded the rule of law. The announcement was put out on his Twitter feed on Wednesday evening, saying that he had an announcement that would make liberal heads explode. Well, Thursday morning came and Ron DeSantis said that he would be removing this woke prosecutor who he felt had gone rogue.
When you make yourself above the law, you have violated your duty, you have neglected your duty, and you are displaying a lack of competence to be able to perform those duties. And so today we are suspending State Attorney Andrew Warren effective immediately.
Law enforcement loved it, Grant, and he also gave a shot to Los Angeles as a lesson as to what not to do in his state of Florida.
I do think that some of these prosecutors that have very militant agenda in terms of ideology have been able to get away with a lot in other states. And so he may have thought because they get away with it in Los Angeles, they get away with it in Baltimore, that he could do this stuff in Florida. And not on my watch, not as long as I'm sitting in the chair I'm in. We're going to take action, decisive action, to protect the people of the state.
Well, he did. This is why people love Ron DeSantis. These prosecutors are killing people. And I mean that when I say at least they're enabling the killing of people by rogue criminals who just feel like they can do whatever they want these days. So he comes out, he suspends this prosecutor. You know, a lot of states don't have a recall option like we do here in California.
Right.
And I believe Florida is one of those states. So it takes the governor to offer up the removal of a prosecutor. It's a bold move on behalf of Ron DeSantis. But on another respect, you could say, is it really that bold? Will it feed right into his base? Yes. And I think more and more people in Florida are waking up. You know, it's always been a swing state that maybe you could make the claim that leans right, but mm-hmm. It certainly was razor thin.
Always. At least in the last few years, it's been razor thin. It's a purple state, to be sure. And I think it does a couple of things. One, it probably enhances his popularity a bit in Florida so that Florida doesn't turn into some of these other states like California. It also takes people like us in California who feel like we're being left behind by our government and say, wow, Ron DeSantis at a national level wouldn't be a bad idea. So I think it's a win-win for him. Certainly, he's got some media criticism coming at him. Some people, including the Daily Beast, taking aim, saying that this is just a political move and that he's removing him really for political reasons, not because he's failing at his job. But crime is at the forefront of really everybody's mind these days. There was a poll in New York that came out that said that crime amongst voters in the state of New York, crime is the top issue of concern over education, quality of life, economy, all of those things. They say that crime should be the governor's top priority when asked in a poll that just came out. And even in a state like New York, which we can agree, Grant, is blue, sometimes they'll bring in a Republican governor. But Kathy Hochul, who is the Democrat, must be worried today. Lee Zeldin is running against her, and he has made crime his top campaign issue. He's realizing what people are saying, and he's trying to answer it. And I would ask that of all of you, is crime your top issue here in Southern California? 855-785-8255. And if it's not crime, what is it? 855-785-8255. Well,
I think even above crime, I think the economy / gas prices, inflation has to be the top of the list for people, because most people are clueless to crime. So they sit down in front of their TVs, they listen to this radio program, we talk about crime, they see the crime on TV, but they never really think it's going to happen to them,
mm-hmm.
right? They think it's one-offs.
Until
it
does.
You don't really think about crime until you become a victim. So though crime is certainly concerning, I think what you do get hit with is when you go to the gas station and you see it costs you $120 to fill up your car. Or when you go to the grocery store and it's not $80 your grocery bill, now it's $120 your grocery bill. Mm-hmm. Or if you're like me and buy a lot of fruit, bag of cherries for $12.
Yeah, cherries are always expensive. But
my grapes are out of control.
I think you bring up, look, I'm not in disagreement. I think there are a lot of issues. I think that crime is one of them. Inflation, certainly the cost of living is one of them for us here in California, to be sure. But what is it for you? 855-785-8255. If you had to pick one thing that your next governor, that our next mayor, that our next elected official could fix, what would you entrust them with? What's that top issue? 855-785-8255. That's the number to call, and you can let us know. I do think that it's cost of living probably at the core of things, but crime has got to be a close second in Los Angeles. I mean, I think about it all the time when I leave my house in the morning, when I go home at night. I mean, I'm always constantly keeping one eye over my shoulder because you just don't know anymore. You have to always have it front and center in your thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, that's why always front and center. I mean, your pocketbook is never more front and center than anything, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because literally, you feel it. You know what else you can do? You can taste it.
When you can't get those cherries.
If you can't, I feel what you're going through. I can taste it, as Joe Biden says. No, but, I mean, look, that's why I think that's probably the number one issue. I think it's what candidates should focus on. And then secondary, I think crime is next.
All right, let's see. 855-785-8255. Harry in Los Angeles, you're on The Morning Answer with Jen and Grant. Hi, Harry.
Hey, hi. Let me turn down my speaker. Hold on.
Good idea. All right. He's a pro. Look at that.
I just want to talk about the LAPD very briefly. I work downtown L.A. They drive around with their windows closed, air conditioning on. Not a damn thing. And I think he got a problem with the police chief, who's a political appointee. And I think he just follows what he's told. He makes $250,000 a year. He don't want to lose his job. And the rank and file, they got no choice but to follow. That's it. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you, Harry. Very fast. 855-785-8255. Look, I think the men and women of the LAPD have a really tough job. I'm open to conversation about Chief Michael Moore. I'm not a huge fan, I have to say. I haven't seen a lot from him that makes me think that he is doing anything to lead the LAPD or to help them do their job, the officers and the men and women of the LAPD. I do think that the sheriff, that Alex Villanueva, is doing a lot for his officers, but I don't work for either one of them. So if you have some information you want to talk about it, 855-785-8255. But maybe there's something to it. The LAPD doesn't feel supported, so maybe that's a piece of the issue.
You know, you talk about, do cops have it tough or not, and the ability for them to do their jobs. I actually believe most police officers on the LA police force want to enforce these crimes.
Of course they
do. They want to arrest the criminals. I also believe that most of these officers are completely afraid to do their jobs, that they're going to be on camera, literally following rules and procedures, but be hung out to dry because
of livelihood.
Rogue prosecutors and top brass that doesn't support them.
All right, Beth in Jacksonville. Hey, Beth, you're on The Morning Answer with Jen and Grant. Good morning.
Hello. I used to be in Ojai, but we left because of personal income tax in California. However, we're very glad to be in Florida with Ron DeSantis because things are good here. I can go to the grocery store and come home with 10 bags and spend under $100.
Wow.
Pretty good.
That's incredible.
Good.
And it's all the taxes.
Haas avocados, which come from California, are less expensive here than they are in Ojai at Vons.
Wow.
How about that?
Pretty good. Well, Beth, send us a few avocados in the mail if you don't mind.
Hey, I thought you got some in that tree
and
behind
then
I'll
send you. I'll send you some gas, too, because it's $3.37 a gallon here.
That's great. You can send me some gas. Grant already has some.
There you go.
Get it?
Got it.
Hot
gas. Is that what you're saying?
No.
You know, you're mean.
I am not.
On a Friday
I love
morning.
You. I know. I love you. Okay. I'm just having fun. You know, okay. I only kid when I love. Believe
this
me that.
Exactly how all the girls I've been around
love. I know. 855-785-8255. What's the biggest problem facing us in Southern California? 855-785-8255.
A co-host who doesn't love you.
As we continue, a big announcement from the San Francisco District Attorney's Office. First, we check the roads and the latest on the election in Arizona with our newsman, Larry Marino, as your Friday Morning Answer continues.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.